20th chapter. This is our 2020 series as we go through our 2020 vision for the year and reminding ourselves. Just kind of remind you of the cards that we sent out at the beginning of the year or put out at the beginning of the year. Focusing on souls, focusing on the future by focusing on the Lord. And that is our 2020 vision. And then we are going through on Sunday nights our every verse of the scripture that is a 2020. And so that brings us to 2 Chronicles. If I said Corinthians, I meant Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20. It says, "And they arose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper.'" Let's pray. Father, as we look at this passage of Scripture, may we be drawn to you through it. May we be encouraged and challenged by it. May it speak to our hearts, and may we be willing to put our faith, our trust, our confidence in you as we look forward to the future, and we will thank and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you can tell, we're studying a king named Jehoshaphat. I've often wondered what compelled a mother to say, "Hey, I know, let's call him Jehoshaphat." In our current society, that would be an unusual name, I suppose. Maybe back then it was like, yes, that's a great name. But I'm thankful for John, David. So simple, boring, but I'll take it every time. As we're looking here in 2 Chronicles, we're going to look first at 19th chapter so that we can kind of bring ourselves up to speed on what's happening with Jehoshaphat. And then bring ourselves into chapter 20. In chapter 19, it says, "And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, 'Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Where therefore is wrath upon thee from the Lord?'" Let me help JD out a little bit. There we go. "Is wrath upon thee from the Lord?" So, you know, that's this... He's saying, "You know what, Jehoshaphat, it's great what you're doing, that's wonderful, but you might just actually care about God's enemies a little bit too much." But look at verse 3. He says, "Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God." Now, we could spend a lot of time on that verse right there. That's just that phrase where Jehoshaphat prepared his heart to seek the Lord. It is not something that we do by nature. It is not something we do, you know, because of the way we were born, the way we were raised. It is a choice that we make to seek the things of God. And Jehoshaphat took the time to prepare his heart to do that. I would encourage you in your Bible reading and in your prayer time and in the decisions that you make to begin to consider, am I preparing my heart to seek the Lord? But beyond that, Jehoshaphat had gotten rid of the groves, or he was tearing down, literally, those high places, those places of worship of false idols, and he was really ushering in a stronger commitment to the things of God here, and God is praising him for it. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went down again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back into the Lord God of their fathers. And he said, "Judge in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city." And he said unto the judges, "Take heed what ye do, for ye judge not men, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment." So he's like, remember who you're serving, and just kind of reminding them, "Wherefore now, let the fear of the Lord be upon you." That awe of the Lord, that respect for the Lord. God really does not desire us to be afraid of him, even though there is, literally in the scripture, a terror of the Lord. But for his children, we are to come boldly to the throne of grace, knowing that we will there find grace to help in time of need. So that fear isn't terror as much as it is an awe and a respect of the Lord. And he goes on, he says, "Because the Lord, for with the Lord there is no iniquity, and nor any respect of persons, nor taking of gifts." God doesn't take bribes. So he's just kind of reminding them, this is Jehoshaphat. He set up the children of Israel for this. Which brings us then, if you'll skip on down to chapter 20. And that's going to bring us into this story. So chapter 20, Jehoshaphat, who's doing a good job. There's some things that God would like to see him improve on, like true with all of us. But he's doing a good job, and God's blessing him. And it came to pass in verse 1, "After this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Now, this, you know, you can use all kinds of illustrations, but quite honestly, this is the Christian life. Now, I am aware that this is Old Testament. I'm aware that this is Israel, not the church. And I know that the promises of the Old Testament belong to Israel, not to the church. Having said that, the God of Israel is the God of the church, and God's character has remained the same. And so as we're looking at this, that's what we want to find out about this God of ours. But in this first verse, he kind of reminds us that, you know what, we're in a battle. In Ephesians, the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 6, we are told to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. We are entering a battlefield every day. And so here's Jehoshaphat and the children of Judah, and they're realizing that, okay, we're going to have to face this battle. Then, verse 2, there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea and on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar." I wouldn't want to go there, it doesn't sound like, which is En Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself, and here it is, he prepared himself early to seek the Lord. Because when the time came that he would need to seek the Lord, he needed to be ready. Now here it is in verse 3. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. It's an amazing thing what leadership does. When Jehoshaphat prepares his heart to seek the Lord, and then when difficult times come and he seeks the Lord like he's supposed to, and he's ready, all of a sudden, all of these others, even out of all the cities of Judah, at the end of verse 4, it says, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God of heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Now, let me ask you a question. Does God know the answer to these questions? Jehoshaphat is asking God, God, are you powerful? Are you over everything? Are you in control of all of these things? And of course, we know that God knows the answer. Jehoshaphat is not asking these questions for God's benefit. Jehoshaphat is not reminding God, God, don't forget, you're powerful. No, he is reminding, first of all, himself. And then he's reminding the congregation that he's standing before. This is the purpose of praise. We miss praise often in our worship and in our praying time. Praise is a time in which we tell God about God. We tell God about himself. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name above all the earth. God knows that, but we say it out loud because it brings that into our reality. It helps us to get it. And so here's Jehoshaphat as he's kind of reminding himself and reminding the congregation, God rules over all the kingdoms. And in God's hand, there is power and might, and none is able to withstand thee. Could I tell you, Southeast Baptist, listen up. This is a weird time. I mean, we're in a weird time. And it can be a little frightening. What does the future hold? How long is this thing going to last? And what if this happens and this happens and this happens? Can I read this verse again? And let's put it in context of this pandemic that we're going through. It says, art thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of pandemonia? Is that a word? Pandemania, whatever it is. All the pandemic is what I'm trying to get at. And is in thine hand power and might? And is it true that none are able to withstand thee? Do we believe that this is the God that we serve, even at this moment, in our history, which is someplace we've never been? Yes. And if we, like Jehoshaphat, are preparing our hearts to seek the Lord, then we can step forward knowing that our future is in God's hands without the fear, without the worry. And that's where Jehoshaphat is. Okay, the enemy's coming. There's an army gathered to fight against Judah and all of the people of Jerusalem. And Jehoshaphat says, let's remember this. God's in control. Let's keep going. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it unto the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? Hey, God, haven't we seen you do stuff like this before? Haven't you shown yourself to be greater than the enemies that we have, that we face before? So when I find bitterness creeping into my heart, and I'm struggling because I'm not liking my circumstance, isn't God greater than that bitterness? When fear begins to creep in and overtake our lives, isn't God greater than that fear? What enemy is it that God has not already driven from the land and given us victory? And that's what Jehoshaphat is reminding everyone. And it says in verse 8, they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein in thy name, saying, if evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, listen to what it says, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Oh, Southeast Baptist, God hasn't lost control. God is still the God of this house, and we still come before that God who has already given us the victory through Jesus Christ. And we know that, yeah, okay, we don't know what's going to happen, but we know the person, the one who is in control of whatever is going to happen. And so that's what he reminds all of these people, getting them ready for this. And I'm going to skip down for the sake of time because this is a long chapter as we kind of go through this. So all of this is coming. He's reminding all the people, hey, God's in control. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Go down, if you would, please, to verse 20 again, and we'll jump back into the story. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. Now listen, I was talking to the deacons this afternoon and reminded of this story and of Moses. Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they cut across the wilderness. And just about the time that they reach the edge of the Red Sea, they look behind, and the army of the Egyptians are coming down upon them. And you can imagine what it must have been like for those people. They literally feel trapped. Water on this side, an army on this side. What are we supposed to do? And Moses stands up and says this, stand still and see the glory of the Lord. You know, it's when we don't know what to do and God has backed us into a corner that often what God is wanting us to do is just to wait. And what he's going to do is provide a way for us to move forward. And here we are, verse 20, and they get up. They've spent time remembering who God is. They have prepared their hearts. You see, remember what he said? They prepared their hearts, set their hearts to seek after the things of God. And they remember who God is. And the army's coming, and Jehoshaphat says, it's time. Let's go. And they set out in that morning and went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe the Lord your God. Now is the time when faith steps in. Southeast, you know, we are a blessed body. We really are. Our church has been blessed. In the almost 30 years that I've been your pastor, you know, it's hard pressed to find times in which it was really difficult to know if we were going to make it. Do you understand? I mean, God has just always taken care of this body. It's been an amazing thing. He's blessed. And now here we are. We're up against it, so to speak. This is difficult. We've never been through anything like this before. I'm reminded when Joshua, a similar thing to Moses, when Joshua led the children of Israel to the Jordan River, and he said, you know, sanctify your hearts, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And now they're facing the river, and on the other side is the promised land. How do we get there? There's no bridge. There's no way to cross. What are we going to do? And God said, start walking. And the Bible literally says, as the priests were stepping into the river, the waters would part with each step as they walked across the river. Here's Jehoshaphat. Hey, the army's out there. There's a battle in front of us, but God's still on the throne. Let's not back away. Now it's time, it says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when they had consulted with the people, I love this, by the way. This is be good for some of you out there. Verse 21, verse 21, and when they had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. It is an interesting thing to see that singers are actually an appointed position in the eyes of God. Mia and I were talking about this week, about the importance of singers in God's economy, that God literally establishes a place, and he elevates music to a position. And so he appoints singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. And you could do a whole study on the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now verse 22. Verse 22 is like the key verse. It's one of the key verses here. Look at it. And if you were here, I would ask you to speak to me. What's that next word, verse 22? And when. When they began to sing and to praise the Lord. To sing and to praise, I'm sorry. Then the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon. God began to fight for them when they praised his name. We often want to wait until God brings the victory and then bring praise, forgetting that God is worthy of praise no matter what the circumstance. God isn't worthy of praise only when life is going good. God is worthy of praise at every circumstance. And so they praise the God, they praise the Lord. Praise the God of heaven without victory. They just begin to praise. And when they begin to praise, then the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were, what's that word? Smitten. The enemy was defeated. And if I can point this out, the enemy was defeated because a people that had set their hearts, prepared their hearts to seek the Lord, praised the God of heaven before the victory was given. What an incredible thing. Verse 23, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. Hey, make no question about this. The enemy was there to kill them, to slay and destroy them. That's what the enemy was after. But God steps in and does something. When they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Now, let me show you a wonderful thing. We'll read verse 24 and 25, and we're done after 25. Verse 24 says, and when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies, fallen to the earth, and none had escaped. Listen what happens. Judah comes and finds dead bodies. Do you see this? God stepped in. God fought a battle for them. They step out in praise, trusting God. In fact, Jehoshaphat literally said, believe the Lord. Let's believe the Lord. Let's have some faith here. All is not lost. If I can say this in the middle of a pandemic, listen up, Southeast. All is not lost. It's time to step out, not to back away. It is time to praise God for the God that he is and watch what he can do when we face things that overwhelm us. And so it says, they found these dead bodies. Look at verse 25. This is the other key verse, 25. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away, for they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil It was so much. Hey, listen, on the other side of this pandemic lie the blessings of God. What God might do by allowing us to face this enemy, this circumstance, could be more than we could even imagine, more than we could carry away. You see, already we're seeing things where God is pulling families together. I talked to a family this afternoon from our church, and they said, you know, Pastor, we'll be glad to get back to church, but honestly, we have enjoyed so much just being together as a family that it's going to be hard to go back. And I thought, you know, God's already doing some amazing things. And when we get to the other side and God brings clear and unquestionable victory, it might be that we can't carry away all of the blessings that God brings to us. Let's prepare our hearts to seek the Lord. And then let's believe God and move forward. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Let's move forward and trust a God to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Southeast, I love you. So glad we can do this together. I wish we could interact a little more personally. I'm just that kind of person. I like the handshakes and the hugs, but one day we'll be back together. But until then, may the Lord watch between me and thee as we are absent one from another. And the Lord bless you, keep you, make his face to shine upon you, and give you peace. I love you. God bless you.